Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hello, 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 my friends, and welcome to our special edition and special time, special time here on Off the Cuff with Sunny Dawn Johnston. I'm very excited to have a special guest that we have been working to try to make this happen for a couple of months. And so, and we have a special time because she is joining us from the other side of the pond. So let me go ahead and bring on Lynn McTaggart. Hello, Lynn.
Hi there, Sunny. So great to be with you and your audience.
Thank you. Great to have you as well. I really am excited about this. And I know you had some technical difficulties this morning. I had some earlier. So I'm like, oh my goodness. I love technology, except for when it doesn't work.
You betcha. You betcha.
Absolutely. Well, Lynn, let me go ahead and share a little bit about you. So those of us in the audience that don't know about you, and I'm excited to talk about your power of eight, because I know that's been a big focus for you. So Lynn McTaggart is one of the central voices in the New Consciousness Movement. She is the award-winning author of 7 books, including worldwide bestsellers, The Field, The Intention Experiment, and The Bond, as well as her latest book, The Power of Eight. She's also the architect of The Intention Experiment, a worldwide global laboratory testing the power of thought to change the world. Gosh, do I love that. She also serves as editorial director of What Doctors Don't Tell You, one of the world's most highly praised health publications. I didn't even know about that, What Doctors Don't Tell You. Now that is really interesting to me, Lynn.
We can talk about it.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
Thank you.
Will you, just to start off, explain to our audience what the power of eight is? Because it's something that's just, it's interesting enough to go, well, what is that exactly? So what does that mean?
Okay, sure, Sunny. Well, the power of eight became, you know, it came about by accident. I am a journalist by background, an investigative reporter. So I've kind of come into this whole area sideways. So I was listening to lots of people talking about the secret, the law of attraction, all of that in the early 2000s. And I had written a book called The Field, where I had talked to lots of frontier physicists and scientists, thinking I was going to get the answer to whether or not there's human energy fields and how come spiritual healing works. And in the process, I was astounded to discover that they were all, each of them, on the verge of a completely new science, a totally new view of the world. And one of the things that they talked about were some experimental evidence demonstrating that thoughts are an actual something with the capacity to change physical matter. So the journalist in me was intrigued, but also skeptical. I thought, you know, yeah, right. How far can we take this? Are we talking about a very tiny effect, like trying to affect a quantum particle? Or are we talking about curing cancer? Mm-hmm. And also, I was interested in what happens when lots of people are thinking the same thought at the same time. Does that magnify the effect? So I decided to test this. By that time, I had, you know, I knew a lot of scientists in working in consciousness research. And I also had loads of readers. I had readers in, you know, at least 30 languages around the globe. And I figured if I just put them together, I'd have the biggest global laboratory in the world. So that's what I did in 2007. I started a thing called the Intention Experiment. And we started setting up these very rudimentary studies where we would put some seeds. We'd have 4 sets of seeds and we'd have my audience. I'd invite my audience to send intention to one of the set of seeds. We wouldn't tell the scientists which one it was. They'd plant them. And, you know, we'd see if the seeds grew faster that were intended for. And we tried that with seeds and leaves and water and purifying water, and then moved on to things like trying to lower violence in war-torn areas and even heal people of things like post-traumatic stress disorder. I've run 35 to date. 31
Wow.
have shown measurable, positive, mostly significant effects. But that's not the interesting part of the story.
That's not the interesting part, okay?
No, the interesting part of the story is when I was trying to scale this all down in a workshop back in 2008. And I wasn't sure how to do that. I hadn't run many workshops before. And I was kicking this around with my husband, who's also a journalist. And I said, oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll put people in groups of eight or so and have them send healing intention to a member of the group with a health challenge. And my husband said, he's a good journalist and a headline writer too. And he goes, I love it. The power of eight. So that's how it started, Sunny, totally by accident. Put people in groups of eight or so in this first workshop in Chicago, had them send healing intention together to a member of the group with a health challenge. And I figured it was going to feel a little bit like a massage, you know, or a facial, you know, feel good exercise. But that wasn't what it was like at all. The next day, when we asked people to come back and give us feedback who'd been sent intention, we heard things like this. You know, I've had depression all of my life and it feels lifted today. I have terrible gut issues and they seem resolved. I have terrible arthritis in one knee and I'm walking normally today. And, you know, on and on and on it went. I have cataracts and it's 80% better. And so I was shocked and disbelieving. So I spent many years running workshops, testing this, and also doing all kinds of tests in year-long courses, in brainwave studies with neuroscience departments, and to try to figure out what was the secret sauce here. But over those thousands of groups I've run since that time, when people, you put people in groups, give them some rudimentary stuff about how to do intention together, amazing healings occur. Just extraordinary healings occur.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love that. I didn't know that you came by it by accident, which is, you know, and then there's no accident. So we know, okay, well, this was necessary. But, you know, one of the things that just reminded me of, and you know, you may have witnessed this in your work many, many times, but almost 3 years ago, my assistant and dear friend was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer metastasized to the bone. And, mm-hmm. and she had 7 breaks in her body. And about a week after her diagnosis, my spirit just said to me, gather people and have them focus on different body parts. So we actually had teams. So we had the kidney team, we had the heart team, we had the breast team, we had the shoulder team, because she had all these different, you know, and circulatory team. And we literally had hundreds and hundreds of people on different body parts. And within 5 months, her numbers were back down to a normal level. I mean, it was miraculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. And it is, you know, I've seen thousands of miracles like this. I love, by the way, that you had the breast group, the kidney group, etc. That is so cute. That is so good.
And I didn't know what I was doing. You know, it was just, I just was guided to, you know, I was like, I said to myself, I was in the hospital. I said, this is so big. There's so much. And spirit said, break it down to body part. And I'm like,
I love that. I think that's so great.
But it aligns so much with your teaching.
Well, yeah. I mean, and our teaching is all about being very specific. That is one thing that I found works, you know, whether it's the intention experiments or power of eight groups. So you're doing it in small groups for each other. But being specific is really important. But I mean, I have seen so many miracles like that. I have on film a woman who was in a wheelchair who came to a conference I was speaking at. And at the end of the conference, I put people into Power of Eight groups and had them experience it. And then what I usually do when I am speaking, and I do that, is ask them afterward, okay, did anyone feel anything? Anyone have any change? And we get people from the audience to talk about what happened. And, we always have amazing stories. We have, I'm thinking of one recent time where we had in the audience, about 700 people, and we had some woman who was, who could hardly walk. She was scheduled for a knee replacement. Her knee was super wobbly and really messed up. And after her 10-minute intention, because that's all I do, she did a deep squat for the audience. Something she hasn't been able to do in years. Somebody else had couldn't focus her eyes after a stroke, and she was able to focus them after this 10-minute intention. Another woman had a dislocated shoulder and actually felt it slot into place. I mean, extraordinary things in just 10 minutes. I mean, last summer it took the cake though. We had a woman in the audience of a talk I was giving. And I put people in groups as usual. And she was in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down. A young woman in her 20s who was a dancer. So it was really tragic. This had come about overnight. Nobody knew why. And so we did an intention. It wasn't an accident or anything like that, but she was just paralyzed. So we did an intention for her, her group did. And after I asked people in the audience to raise their hand and talk, the whole group focused on her because they talk afterward among themselves. Then I asked for the feedback. And all of a sudden, to everybody's just amazement, gasped amazement, she stood up and she started talking and started moving. And I was so amazed by this that I talked to her. I called her afterward on Zoom and recorded that as well. I recorded the standing up in the audience and then also recorded her speaking. And she just said, I felt what was so interesting. She felt this more love than she'd ever felt, this extraordinary outpouring of love among strangers, from coming from strangers. That's so powerful. That's one of the pieces. But also, she said it was too much. It was more than I needed. So I passed some of it on to a relative of hers with cancer. And it was at that moment of passing it on that she started feeling that her wheelchairs were going through the floor. And that was the thing that I found really extraordinary, and that has happened over and over again. That act of altruism, when people enter into a state of loving oneness, that's one thing, but also that act of altruism, I think, is the real secret sauce here that is healing.
So when you create the space for those to gather in the circles of eight, and you said that being specific is really important, can you just give a little clarity? Because I know people, everybody is like, oh my gosh, we got to do this, and but like when I had that experience, they said break it down to body part, like specific to the level of what? Can you just give us an idea of what that looks like as far as the level of specificity we need?
Sure. This has come about over years of experimenting with all of these top-level scientists and then with thousands of Power of Eight groups. I've been observing it almost like a scientist myself. What works, what doesn't, and why? And I'm not a scientist, as I say. I'm just a journalist, but somebody who.
A scientist, though, you're bringing all that information through in a way that we can all understand, because not all of us understand scientists.
I know, I know. They need decoding. They talk in math,
Oh,
basically. I mean, that's what I had to do with the field. I had to decode what they were saying, slowly but surely, because, as I say, they talk in code.
I know you spent a
So.
lot of time with Greg Braden, who's a dear friend of mine too, and I need some decoding a lot with him. I'm like, his mind is so.
I know. Greg's my friend too. He's a dear friend, and he's so great. He's so great.
I'm like, you gotta dumb it down for me a little bit. I can't quite get
Happy to, Sonny. Being specific, here's what we found. When we did intention experiments, just sending love to water, for instance, nothing happened. When we said we want to move it by one full pH toward alkalinity, make it more alkaline, so purer, it worked. And we would try that over and over again. Whenever we were not specific, it didn't work. The same thing with my masterclass groups. I have a year-long course I call the Intention Masterclass, and I put people into groups for a whole year, and I work with them. And what I find is the people who are meeting regularly and are specific are the ones with results. And I actually monitor the results. You know, we're monitoring month by month what's going on with everybody. And the people who are meeting regularly and being specific, pretty much about 100% do better. You know, they heal some aspect of their lives, whether it is their health, their relationships, their finances or career, their life's purpose. Something big is an extraordinary shift. So being specific is all about telling the universe exactly what you want. Now, a lot of people tell you or tell the audience, no, keep it general. Let the universe fill in the gaps. I find that does not work. And I always tell people, so many personal development and spiritual teachers out there have so many brilliant techniques. The important thing is don't mash them together. If you're going to do my stuff, do it this way because it's the way I know. If you're going to do Joe Dispenza's stuff, do it his way because I know his stuff works. And Greg's and Bruce's and yours, everything that you do, follow that teacher. One thing that I have found always is being very, very specific is absolutely key. You tell the universe what you want. So I like to approach it as a journalist. As a journalist, you're told to write in the first paragraph, the lead of the story, who, what, when, where, why, and how. Mm-hmm. Now, the only one that is a little elastic is the how.
Oh, right.
Because sometimes how comes in very interesting ways.
Right. But you couldn't
I think about my daughter, my eldest daughter, Caitlin, who is now 31, but at the time she was 18, and she was applying for university. Now, I live in the UK, as you know, and that is a very cruel place for high school kids because this is how they do it. You have to take a 2-year course at the end called A-levels, where you shrink all your courses down to 4 and then 3. And they're very intense courses, almost like the first year of university. You then take a big test, a do or die test at the end of your year. And when you apply for university, you apply earlier and they say, yeah, we'll take you conditionally, but you need to get 2 A's and a B on your A levels. Oh. And you don't find out when your grades are coming back until the end of August. And you're supposed to go to university in September. So it's completely nerve wracking. Mm-hmm. Caitlin wanted to go to Durham. And Durham is like Oxford, Cambridge, Durham on the scale of tough universities to get into. And she was a very good student, but not a straight A student, which is practically what they were wanting. So she applies for some general course, thinking she'll be able to get in, doesn't get in. She gets into a couple of other very good universities conditionally, but when she gets her grades, and she was planning to be a major in English, and she really wanted psychology, but she thought they needed more sciences in A-level. So she applied for her next best love, English. Gets in to university, a couple of universities. But when August comes around, she doesn't get one of the grades. She gets a B, not an A. Rejected from both of them. And when you have that, all you can do is go into a thing. And this is all done in computer. You go into clearing. So we go along clearing, looking and looking. You have to look at what's left. And then it's first come, first serve to call up the university and get that course place if you have the grades. It's an insane system. We call and call. There's no good English courses left. So we start looking over. I said, well, why don't you look at psychology? And she does, and she looks and looks. And there is Durham. Two courses left in applied psychology for the grade she's got, and there's two left. So we call and call, and she gets the last place left. Goes to Durham, graduates from Durham, got her psychology degree, exactly what she wanted. That's a really circuitous example of the how.
That's right. You know? That's right.
But it's always about keeping that intention real focused on exactly what you want. So if you want to, I have a friend who has prostate cancer and metastasized to a spine. And so our intention of my Power of Eight group says, our intention is that Joe Bloggs is immediately, completely and permanently healed of all traces of prostate cancer and any metastases, particularly in the C2, C3, C6, C7 portion of his spine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we throw in a few other things he wants. So very, very specific. We're telling the universe exactly what we want.
Now, do you use visualization with that too, Lynn? Is that part of the process? Because I find for me that's made a big difference in just what I'm working on, let alone, you know, healing.
Absolutely. Do the visualizations. And, you know, one thing that I teach a lot is how to visualize the outcome. Mm-hmm. Exactly what to do to visualize the outcome. But yes, you use your head, you use your heart, you use your visualization. It's all in with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I found for me, when I work with my community on people that are in situations like that, that even if they get like an x-ray of what's going on in their body, so they know what it looks like, and then an x-ray of what a healthy whatever looks like, then you can focus on what it's meant to be. And for so many people, I think they get stuck there and not knowing what they want it to look like. They just know they don't want this, and focusing on the don't want this is not good, right?
No. And, you know, sometimes that moment that you're given the all clear is a really good one, too. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're visualizing being completely healthy, what does health look like to you? Mm-hmm. And that may be dancing. It may be walking in the woods. It may be something, just feeling completely free of pain. What does that look like to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so, so powerful, so powerful. And the miracles, I mean, how exciting is it to just see those just day after day after day?
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. On my course, I've got people who say, I mean, this past year that we had our masterclass, we just had a woman say, you know, I've been sugar addicted for years and years and years, and my group did an intention for me to get off of sugar, and I immediately stopped. I mean, she was so bad. She was binge eating in the middle of the night. She'd wake up, binge eat, and sleep to the afternoon. So her husband didn't see her so much. And, you know, she was miserable, didn't exercise, overweight, all of those things. They intended for her to stop being addicted to sugar. She stopped having sugar immediately. She started exercising after another intention. She started meditating after another intention. She is now, you know, spending much more time with her husband. That's become a more loving relationship. She's never been ill all of this time. And she just says, this is one of the best times of my life. And, you know, we had somebody else come off of antidepressants after 22 years. We had somebody else who, you know, immediately ended chronic fatigue. He was barely able to get out of bed, you know, cancer going, you know, just the whole raft of things, people finding new jobs, new lives, life purposes, you know, it's extraordinary. And, you know, Sunny, I spent so much time as a journalist. First, I saw the miracles. And then I said, you know, as my 23-year-old says, WTF, you know, what the hell is going on here?
So how is this happening? Mm-hmm.
What is happening? How can this group 10-minute thing cause these extraordinary things and these events and changes and healings? And it wasn't just health. You know, it was people intending for windfalls, and they would get pretty much what they asked for. They would ask, you know, they need $4,952 to pay off a debt. And there would come something pretty much like that, just the money they needed through the mail, through some strange windfall and things like that. And I kept saying, well, what is it? And so my book, The Power of Eight, is really an attempt to try to understand it through every possible mechanism. And I started looking at, you know, the power of groups. I mean, there's Emil Durkheim, the famous psychologist, said there's a collective effervescence, you know, into groups. So that's a part of it. I started looking at altruism because I started realizing, you know, lots of people in my first year-long course where I decided put people in groups, monitor what's going on, see what's going on, and then, you know, and then try to understand this more. I did this back in 2015, and I found almost everybody was having extraordinary results in these groups when they regularly attended. As I say, regularly attended, pretty much 100% have some big shift. But a few weren't earlier on, and so I was working with them, and trying this, trying that, and I finally just said, get off of yourself. Stop intending for yourself. Intend for somebody else in the group who needs it more. So, for instance, Andy. Andy was a young woman with two young children, recently divorced, needed to make money, had sold her gifts to her business, very talented in marketing, coaching, loads of things, retail, couldn't find anything, nothing, and tried this, thought she had a scarcity issue, this, that, and the other. So I finally just said, Andy, I just got fed up. I just said, Andy, get off of yourself. Intend for this kid here. And there was a stepfather who was part of my community writing me about his stepson, who's Luke, who is 15, had just broken up with his first serious girlfriend. And in a fit of adolescent angst, he threw himself off a 40-foot structure onto hard ground. Now, Luke broke every bone in his body.
He lived.
One second. Hi, did I just get lost?
Nope, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, there we are. Sorry, right. I lost you.
So Luke lived?
Luke broke every bone in his body. He had nerve damage. He had brain damage. The doctors didn't think he was going to live. So our groups, our whole masterclass, started doing a healing vigil for Luke over three successive Sundays, while his stepfather kept a running commentary of what was going on around the time of those intentions. So it was really useful for me as well as wonderful for all of us to do this. And Luke had extraordinary responses every time we did intention. And he got better in record time. Maybe that was great doctoring. Maybe that was us. And he's now a healthy 18-year-old, and they didn't even think he was going to live at 15. But the most interesting thing is not that, but what happened to Andy. Because the moment she got off of herself, out of the blue, comes a call from somebody she doesn't even know offering her her dream job. And that happened over and over and over again when people got off of themselves. So I think that was part of it, Sonny, a big, big piece. When I looked into the science of altruism, I found altruism's like a bulletproof vest. You know, people who do things for other people, according to the science, are healthier, happier, and live longer in every regard.
Wow.
It's just amazing. And I think I see that over and over in these groups that I run, where people, and I think that's the power of a group. Mm-hmm. You don't just receive, you give.
Right.
Too. You get your turn to give and receive, and it is that, that loving connection of healing and wholeness, particularly when it's a group you don't even know, as happens in my masterclass. I throw people into groups of people they don't know and say, this is your intention family, folks. Mm-hmm. And they do become that. It's extraordinary. They become that intention family. So I think, you know, that is, altruism is the power. But, you know, Sonny, there is something more. And that more, I kept wanting to know, okay, well, what is this real secret sauce? As I say, as a journalist in me. And so I was really lucky that a team of neuroscientists at Life University, the largest and most prestigious chiropractic university, got fascinated by my Power of Eight stuff. And they offered to put their neuroscience department at my disposal, which was so lucky.
Wow.
So fabulous. So we did a first study. We're going to do some more. And this first study, we just got student volunteers from the student body. None of them had even meditated before. And we put them in groups of eight, and we had them send healing intention to a member of the group. And we put an EEG cap on each person who, you know, who was part of a group. We would randomly pick somebody who would get the EEG cap, who was a sender, not a receiver. And we found uniformly over these seven different times we ran it, that almost immediately portions of the brain involved in feeling separate, and that's the parietal lobes, they sit right back here and they tell us how to navigate through space and what is me and what's not me. They were turned way down. And so were the parts of the brain involved with worry, doubt, negativity. The right part of the right frontal lobes also dialed way down. Now, we expected, and the neuroscientist who led the whole study was convinced we were going to see effects just like meditation. They were nothing like meditation. Meditation had a completely different brainwave signature. Ours was far more like brainwave studies done on Sufi masters during chanting or Buddhist monks during ecstatic prayer, done by Andrew Newberg, University of Pennsylvania. So our people were in a state of ecstatic oneness. But here is the fascinating part of it. People to reach that state usually think they have to have years of disciplined practice and hours of spiritual priming to reach that state. Here was a group of student volunteers who had never done this before. They had a video explaining how to do it, but from me, and they were transported in an instant into essentially the miraculous. It was just extraordinary, but it is that, I think, that's the big, big piece. I think it's that entering into that state of oneness, in a state of love too, and giving, where separation disappears, where we actually feel what we are supposed to be. This is who we were supposed to really be. We get to feel it finally. And that becomes, you know, the avenue of miracles, I think.
Wow. So I have a question for you. What, or does it, maybe in your research, have you discovered, does it matter if the person is open to receive? Like, can they just be sitting, you know, in their room and not knowing anything? Like, is there anything that you've discovered that has to do, you got a lot about the senders, but how about that receiver? So like you said with Andy, when she got into service, then she could receive. But what about people that are, you know, either they don't believe in any of this, or they're so sick that they don't feel the energy to be able to give to someone else? What have you found on that side of things?
Great, great questions, Sunny. Well, first of all, let's go back to Andy and Luke.
Yes.
I mean, Luke, like any 15-year-old, he agreed to it. But, you know, like any teenager, he thought his parents' belief in the power of an intention was completely stupid. Mm-hmm. So that was no placebo effect,
sure.
And we've also seen that audience where I was talking about all of those healings with the, you know, the eyes and the knee and the dislocated shoulder. There was a woman in the audience who was a complete skeptic, and her back pain disappeared.
Yeah.
What I usually recommend when I'm teaching is get permission from people. I don't think it's right and fair to just intend for people who don't agree to this, unless they're in a coma, they're unconscious, they've been in a car accident, they're a child, you know, or a baby, whatever. We've done lots of that. I have a thing called Intention of the Week that I have on my website, where we nominate, people send in members, you know, members in my community have people that they know of who are ill and need healing, and usually have, you know, some sort of serious condition. And they send it in, they nominate them, and we choose three every week for my whole community to send healing intention to on Sunday, every Sunday. And I mean, we've had a catalog of extraordinary things. We just had a guy who was supposed to get both legs amputated, had bone cancer, totally metastasized. plus cancer in two other spots as a result. And the whole community sent intention to him to save his legs, etc. Not only did he save his legs, but when doctors went in to, you know, expecting total metastasis, they found a little contained tumor, were able to remove that. His legs, he kept his legs, and the cancer is gone. Wow. And they thought, you know, they kept saying, this is a total miracle. You know, they couldn't explain it. And we have loads like that. Yeah. Even among the senders, one woman with terrible arthritis joined in every Sunday. And her arthritis, I mean, she was so bad, she couldn't paint anymore. She was a painter. That all went in the act of doing it. So, you know, we see that all the time. But as I say, I like to suggest to people that they ask permission.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the attendees don't have to believe.
Right. We've seen that and I love that. I think, you know, I was the receiver of that at one time when I was on my deathbed. And, you know, back then it was, you know, I just had a baby and I was a teenager and I was literally like, the doctors came in and said, you need to sign your rights to your son because we don't think you're going to live through the night. And I got into this, I was so desperate and I didn't really believe in any religion, but I called every person I knew and I said, I don't know what you do, if you pray, if you send love, if you visualize me healthy, like I need something because I might not make it. And so literally that next day I'd had 106.3 degree temperature for 3 weeks and my fever finally broke that night. So I've always believed that, always been a fan, but I think like you, I have that curiosity that says, why, you know, what's happening here? And I think I've always just been, I don't know what works though. I don't know all the details. Like you're doing all the study. I'm like, I just know it works. So I love that you've created all these Power of Eight circles. So people can go to your website, I assume, and get information about all of that in your books and, you know, the intention experiment, all of that. So you guys, lynnmctaggart.com is the website you can go to get all that information. And then you have an online program called the Get Well Show.
We just had it.
I heard.
Thank you. It was really fun.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, it was just last week. And I just was going to add on the lynnmctaggart.com. Our doors have just opened to our Power of Eight Intention Masterclass, the year-long class I've been talking about. We've just opened the one to 2021. So if you're interested in joining or finding out more, it's lynnmctaggart.com. And just go to courses. And you'll find Intention Masterclass 2021. And that's the one to click on to find out more. Awesome. Get Well Show. The other hat I wear is, remember, I'm a journalist. And we have been running for 30 years a publication called What Doctors Don't Tell You. It was first a newsletter. And since 2012, it's been a magazine. And now it's a magazine in about 15 languages. It's... we were very interested in alternative methods of healing and what works and what doesn't work in conventional and alternative medicine. And so in that magazine, we look at essentially what doesn't work in conventional medicine and has a better answer in alternative. And I'll put my hand up here and say we're not against conventional medicine, but usually it breaks down into this. When it's acute, there's nothing better, you know, when it's life or death,
right,
or certain operations, there's nothing better than 21st century modern high-tech medicine. I mean, I had an operation in February and it's, you know, it was really transformational. But when it comes to the chronic illnesses that afflict most of us, there usually is an alternative treatment that works better and doesn't just treat, but heals. And so that's our big beef, is most of the chronic illnesses that doctors can only just throw drugs at and nothing more.
Yep.
Those are the big problems. So we set out to really look at, well, what's got evidence for alternative medicine? So we've been doing that for, as I say, 30 years. And then a few years ago, we decided, wow, over the years, we've met thousands of these fabulous practitioners who are doing everything, you know, amazing stuff, everything from integrative doctors who use diet and supplements and some herbs or herbs, to, you know, Qigong masters and sound healing practitioners, you know, people who are achieving amazing results, you know, reversing autism, healing the unmentionables, cancer, all of it. And so, you know, arthritis, thyroid, all of those things that are usually only maintained on drugs.
Right.
So we decided to put together a show last February in Olympia in London, where we had 70 speakers who were these amazing healers of all varieties. As I say, everything from doctors doing interesting, progressive, pioneering, non-drug approaches to, you know, to people using Tao calligraphy to get well, but and, you know, distant healers, the whole thing. And so we had a really successful show in February of 2020, but then of course lockdown happened here and COVID hit. And so we decided to do the whole thing online. So we had a Get Well show just last Thursday through Sunday. It just ended a few days ago, and it was amazing. We were able to do a show virtually. So we had not only 48 speakers, but we also had exhibitors. And you could visit, you could come on live and ask questions of the speakers. You could visit the stands of the exhibitors and have online healings, demonstrations, all kinds of things like that. So we're going to do more, and we're also going to make some of those recordings available of the speakers. So if people want to find out more, just go to getwell.solutions and sign up, and you'll find out more. And of course, What Doctors Don't Tell You, the magazine, if you're interested in finding out more, that's WDDTY. That stands for whatdoctorsdonttellyou.com.
That is, you are ahead of your time, sister.
I don't know. I think I have to be a Jedi Knight right now. I mean, there's a lot of, attacks against people who are challenging the status quo, particularly on things like COVID. So, you know, we have to be careful, and we always are. But, you know, that's our stock in trade as journalists, and we do feel like people deserve to have this information.
For sure. Well, and also you have seen and have the evidence of how much our mind changes our body and how much we can be affected, not only ourselves in our own body, but how much we can affect other people. So when you think about the energy and the fear that's out in the world, then you realize how it's manifesting and how, you know, it's a contagion in and of itself. It's a virus, the fear in and of itself. And, you know, not to negate the illness that people have had, but to also say that when that illness is within us and in our mind, and we're thinking and feeling about it all the time, it affects us.
Absolutely. And, you know, my job, you know, as I say, I'm a journalist at heart. Mm-hmm. And my job is always to say, I've got to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you propaganda. I'm not telling you what the government wants you to hear. I'm not telling you what the medical authorities want you to hear. I am digging to the best of my ability and the best of our team, our journalistic team's ability, just to tell you the truth without fear or favor.
Right.
And that, I feel, is a really important piece right now, because I don't find that most media outlets are anything but very politicized.
There's no journalists left, Lynn. There's no journalists left.
I mean, luckily, I'm so old, Sunny. So,
I
decided to be a journalist when I was, I was very young. There was Woodward and Bernstein taking down a corrupt president. And I said to myself, you know, I want to do that. Wow. You know, that's a really noble calling. And I fear it's not such a noble calling anymore. And it's been so politicized. What's bothered me the most about the COVID crisis is not that it's not real. I think it's a very, very nasty virus. Not that it's not totally out of control, but that I don't think the journalists out there are really questioning. They've got some sort of political agenda. They do things according to that political agenda, or they just support what's being done, and they have forgotten how to ask the good questions.
Yeah, I 100% agree. My husband and I talk about that a lot because I'm not a news person. I don't watch the news, and I haven't for 20 years because there is no journalism in it, because it's just whoever's paying for whatever they want to point our direction. And we're, you know, it's just the puppet that's leading the show. And so I appreciate having people, and there really are, it's hard to find that you can actually go to that would just say, here's the information. Now you make your own decision, because we're all healthy individuals that can actually make our choices. You don't have to tell me how to think. And that's a gift.
Absolutely. Well, and it's an obligation.
You know,
it's sort of like when we signed up for this job, this is what we have to do. And my fear, to be honest, Sunny, is the collusion between the social media outlets and government now to shut down any debate, any discussion. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, craziness should be tolerated, but the public can deal with that. The public can decide. And I'm not talking about Russian interference or anything like that. I'm talking about reasonable debate, free speech. And I really fear that that's going to be a, you know, a limited commodity. But that's why, as I say, I have to be a Jedi Knight now, because, you know, we have to stand up to that. That's a really important thing to do.
Yeah, and it's not easy. It's not easy to stand up to, because it's infiltrated so many systems and so many minds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, as I say, you know, the public just needs to be told the truth and can make up their own mind. But, you know, you know, there are a lot of pockets of, I'm always thrilled to see how discerning and smart the public is in the main, and how they're getting this too. I hear this over and over again. They're getting this too. And I think ultimately they won't stand for it. And also ultimately, I have to believe that the people who have decided that it's important to give the public the truth, whether it's about any aspect of modern medicine or the current COVID crisis, will manage to find a way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now we have the ability to do things like this, and that's the blessing, is that we can, you know, shine our lights and speak the truth, and then let people choose what they, you know, choose to hear or not. And I'm grateful to be a part of that, because I 100% agree. And it's important that we maintain our ability to have the freedoms to speak.
Absolutely. And, you know, Sunny, I will also try to end on a high note, which is, you know, one of the worst things about this pandemic has been isolation. Yeah. It's so unhealthy for all of us.
Yeah.
We're communal creatures, and we've needed to, you know, we need belonging and connection probably more than we need air and food. And one of the beauties of a Power of Eight group is that you don't have to meet in person. You can meet virtually. All of my master classes, when people are put into groups, many of them meet every week, and they've met for years, yet they've never actually physically met.
Yet
these are their best friends. These are their intention family.
Yeah, you know? They've got a heart connection, right? They're sisters and brothers, just not physically.
Absolutely. And so it's a way to stay connected, loved, supported during this isolating time.
Yes. Absolutely. I love that. Well, thank you, Lynn, so much. Now, normally I ask some off the cuff questions, but you were too fascinating to interrupt and get more off the cuff questions. But I do want to ask you one to end with.
Sure. Go ahead.
If you had one quote, do you have one quote or some kind of mantra that you live your life by that you would want to share with the audience?
Yeah. I think you were never alone. Mm. You are always part of a greater whole.
Yeah. So true.
And I said that I actually dedicated the field to my oldest daughter, Caitlin, the one who went to Durham, because when she was a little kid, she used to pray and always say, God, please don't let me be alone. And so the book, in a sense, was for her, and it was for Caitlin. You never were alone.
Right.
You always were part of a greater whole. And you experienced that, I think, with intention in a group.
Yes. Yes. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Lynn. It's been an absolute joy to spend this time with you today. Again, my friends, go to lynnmctaggart.com. You can get all the information there, or wddty.com. I'll put that information in the comments as well. And keep an eye out in a couple of days. It'll be up on iTunes, so you can go grab it there, share it, and spread this beautiful message of Lynn's. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sunny.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.